Now, the worship service of Avon United Methodist Church, located at 130 Genesee Street in Avon, New York. Pastor Keith Griswold. Welcome to worship with the Avon United Methodist Church.
Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Welcome to the Avon United Methodist Church. If you are visiting with us, we thank you. You are welcome here today. It is a blessing to have you here. My name is Rachel Giso. I am a lay servant, and our pastor is out of town, so I'm substituting for him today. Are there any announcements that we need to hear?
It's a great joy that we have some special music this morning and that Quinn Kenyon and Gemma Valentino will be singing for us.
Just a reminder, we're getting closer to our first fish dinner, which is on March 24th.
Prayers for our church, our nation, our world, climate, racial justice, social justice, and if we can find our way out of some of the things that are going on.
I'm just going to say we need to pray for everybody that's out there in the path of storms. And I mean, when I say storms, I mean every type of storm, from losing a pregnancy, heart surgery, the weather out in California, and all the people that are buried under, and all of that.
So welcome, and please join us in a moment of prayer. O God of ever-flowing grace, you fill our every need and satisfy our every thirst. As we come before you to feast on your goodness, our mouths are filled with praise for your wonderful name. We offer thanksgiving for our celebrations and joys. Your blessings are ever abundant. Forgive us for our shortcomings and for when we miss the mark. Guide us to care for your kingdom, your people, your animals, and your earth. May we turn toward you and be filled again with your unending forgiveness, love, and grace. Your tender mercy and compassion extends beyond our ability to comprehend it. We commit to your loving care this day our loved ones whom we have named and who we hold dearly in our heart silently. O God, be their help. Take them in the shadow of your wings. Uphold them with your right hand and give them strength to bear their trials. Give healing to the sick, peace to the dying, and comfort those who mourn. We know that those who call upon your name rejoice. Help us rejoice anew as we pray in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Will you stand for the call to worship, our first hymn, and praying together? Lord, you are our God.
Our soul serves you.
Lord, you are our God.
We will praise you with joyful lips.
Lord, you are our God.
Our soul sings you.
Lord, you are our God.
We behold your power and majesty.
Lord, you are our God.
We will bless you all the days of our lives.
And now let us sing as the deer. Let us pray together.
God, the Spirit and truth, you alone satisfy our dry and weary souls. Let us drink from the spring of your mercy, so that we may never be thirsty for the gift of your saving love. Through Jesus Christ, the water of life, and the one who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory.
Oh, my Lord, give me a vessel.
name of the sermon is The First to Thirst. I guess that must have been Eve after she ate the apple. The first in thirst is Gatorade. That's the title of the book by Darren Rovell. He tells how Gatorade turned the science of sweat into a cultural phenomenon. Water First for Thirst is a campaign in Columbus, Ohio, to make water the easy, appealing first choice for children and families. Gatorade isn't a fan. Here are a few other lesser-known firsts. The 11th century Italian doctor, Trotula of Salerno, was the first gynecologist. Her work at the world's first medical school paved the way for women's health care. The first to do something effective in solving the problem of rain and snow on a vehicle's windshield was Mary Anderson. She invented the windshield wiper in 1903. The first to test a newborn status at 1 minute and 5 minute post-birth was Dr. Virginia Apgar in 1952. This, of course, is still used today as parents eagerly await their baby's Apgar test. In fact, a backronym was created. An acronym designed to fit an existing word was created. Appearance, pulse, grimace, activity, and respiration. See if you can name these biblical firsts. The first to know about the coming Messiah was Virgin Mary. That is correct. The first to know of the empty tomb and the first to witness the risen Christ was Mary Magdalene. And the first to know that Jesus was the Messiah Christ through his own admission was the Samaritan woman at the well. Very good. You all know your firsts. Now, I share these facts not to create an argument that Jesus revealed himself to women over men, but that he simply included women in the most important period of history. And Jesus was always including the least likely at his table. Sinners in his company, children into his arms, and healing the sick and unclean in his presence. So why is it important that Jesus include the Samaritan woman? Her name is not mentioned in the gospel. However, she is known to the Eastern Orthodox and Eastern Catholic churches as Photini, the luminous one, and is one of the best patrons for women's ordination and called the mother of evangelism. And so that I don't have to continue calling her the woman at the well, I will use this name. As the longest recorded conversation of all the Gospels, Jesus engaged in a deep theological discussion with Photini, disregarding the social standards of his time in respect to interaction with women and those perceived to be outsiders. She was drawing water in the middle of the day alone. It's interesting to note that the scripture says it was about the sixth hour. Now, they didn't use military time, and because scripture also says that Jesus, tired as he was from his journey, sat down by the well, we know that it wasn't 6 a.m. But there is some debate to which time system John may have been using. The Romans began their day at midnight, counting 12 hours to high noon, then 12 more hours from noon to the next midnight. We use Roman time. So it could have been 6 p.m., but it seems more likely that John was using the Jewish method of time, where they start counting their hours of the day at sunrise. This would make the sixth hour 12 noon. Regardless, we know that it was later in the heat of the day, and under normal circumstances, women would go early in the cooler part of the day together as a group. But Photini, having five husbands and currently living with another man who was not her husband, was cast out, shunned, and so allowing this divine opportunity for her to meet with Jesus, who knew all about who she was and what she had done. But before he lets her in on what he knows, He talks to her about living water, and that everyone who drinks this water he gives will never thirst again. You know, I love how Jesus uses parables and hyperboles and analogies to illustrate his teachings. I'm sure we can all relate to experiencing a parched thirst after a long day in the hot sun, an extreme workout, or an unexpected wrong turn on a hike where no water could be found. Remember that feeling of satisfying that thirst when you finally receive a cool glass or bowl of water and how quickly you drank it up. This is what it's like when we first know Jesus or when we return to God after a long time away. And so when Jesus clued her in on what he knew about her and who he was, Teenie understood that this man she was speaking to was the savior of the world. She was someone who best embodied discipleship. As one of the first believers in Jesus, she is one of his first preachers, giving testimony to the people of Samaria. She went straight away to tell her people, leaving her water jar, knowing that her purpose now was not to retrieve water from the well, but to go and make disciples for the transformation of the world. Maybe to follow in the path of Jesus, grow in faith, serve in his name, and share God's love. That's this church's mission, in case you weren't aware. Through a woman, in a time when they were not seen as credible witnesses, even in the court of law, the people of her town, including men, so became believers. The gospel lesson this week includes most of the chapter 4 in John. In our reading, we excluded verses 31 through 38 as to not overwhelm ourselves with a secondary lesson. But it is interesting to note that while Fotini is evangelizing her neighbors, Jesus' disciples have returned from town with food, concerned that Jesus had not eaten enough. And so then Jesus teaches another lesson to his disciples about sowing and reaping and harvesting. He says in verse 38, "I sent you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the hard work, and you have reaped the benefits of their labor." And so this lesson is not just about receiving the living water, but also about doing the work of God. "My food," said Jesus, "is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work." I could not help but think of this Bible story during my lay servant classes when we studied the Wesleyan means of grace. Quoting from the United Methodist Communications, John Wesley, the founder of United Methodism and Methodism in itself, taught that God's grace is unearned, and that we were not to be idle waiting to experience grace, but we are to engage in the means of grace. The means of grace are ways God works invisibly in disciples, hastening, strengthening, and confirming faith so that God's grace pervades in and through disciples. Means of grace can be divided into works of piety through acts of devotion and acts of worship, and works of mercy through acts of compassion and acts of justice. Isaiah 12:3, "With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation." When Jesus talks about living water and never thirsting again, we are reassured that when we remain in God, our spiritual lives are satisfied, fulfilled, and enriched. When Jesus says, "Indeed, the water I give will become a spring of water welling up in eternal life," we are reassured of the promise of salvation. By reading and studying scripture, meditating and praying, regularly attending worship, living healthy, sharing the faith with others, sharing in the sacraments, and being accountable to one another, we are practicing works of piety. James 5:16, Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. When Jesus talks about doing the work of God, harvesting the crop for eternal life, we are reassured that this promise is a promise given to all people of this world. And so we are motivated to participate in works of mercy. We do this by visiting the sick, those in prison, feeding the hungry, giving generously, seeking justice, ending oppression and discrimination, and addressing the needs of others. Matthew 24:40. Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. And Matthew 10:42. And if anyone gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones who is my disciple, truly I tell you, that person will certainly not lose their reward. Now, this is what I believe is the most important part of this lesson. If you haven't listened yet, listen now. After Fotini's testimony, the people of Samaria asked Jesus to stay with them. And he stays for 2 days. And we can only imagine the inspiring lessons he taught, the abundance of love he poured out, and the miracles that might have happened during those 2 days. But verse 41 and 42 read, "And because of his words, many more became believers. They said to the woman, 'We no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world.'" And isn't that the case sometimes, most times, when we discover Jesus and finally have the courage to share with others our experiences and testimonies? When we welcome people into this church, share communion with them, give them a Bible, and provide opportunities to study and learn the Word, when we go into the community to care for our neighbors, we are doing the good work of evangelizing, discipling, sharing God's love. People hear and see our witness. It intrigues them and offers them encouragement. But sometimes, most times, it isn't until they experience Jesus for themselves and feel the presence of the Holy Spirit that they truly believe. All of these works of compassion are so very important, but they mean nothing without the part the Holy Spirit plays, that divine intervention that moves the soul and inhabits the heart, continues the work of the one who calls us. After 2,000 years of being the church and sharing the good news of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, there really aren't any opportunity for many more firsts. For nearly 300 years of Methodism, we have sung the same hymns and prayed the same prayers and sat in the same pews. But yesterday, Bishop Hector, during his sermon at his installation service, taught me how very wrong these words are. The 5 U.S. jurisdictions that elected 13 new bishops last November elected the first Filipino-American bishop, the first Native American bishop, the first openly gay African-American male bishop, the South Central jurisdiction's first African-American female bishop, and the Northeastern jurisdiction's first Latino-American bishop, who was also the first Puerto Rican bishop in the United Methodist denomination. These firsts reminds us of the new thing God is doing among us. We're not the first to hear of Jesus, but what are we doing to make sure that we are not the last? How are we assuring that the life-giving water is offered to the least of these, the marginalized, the outcasts, the people we never want to be around? Isaiah 44:3. "For I will pour water on the thirsty land and streams on the dry ground. I will pour out my spirit on your offering and my blessing on your descendants. Let us be about our Maker's business. Amen. Receive this blessing from Quinn and Gemma.
Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you, to shine.
You've been listening to the 10 a.m. service from the Avon United Methodist Church, located at 130 Genesee Street in the village of Avon. We hope that you have experienced the love of Jesus Christ during your time with us. We invite you to join us on the air weekly at 7:30 a.m. Sundays or in person at 10 a.m. Please visit us on the web at avonnyumc.org or call us at 226-8600. May God richly bless you.
The Avon United Methodist Church Fish Dinners return Friday, March 24th and March 31st.